Another camera now shows Mary walking up to the table where the two have seated themselves. David hits a key and her wireless headset turns on. Hey, Mary, can you hear me? We're watching and listening. I thought you would be. Voyeurs. As she approaches the table, Mary says, hey, guys, what'll it be? She puts the wired basket on the table. Couple of beers and some information, replies Bob. Mary reaches to the small box clipped to her belt, presses a key, and speaks into the headset microphone, saying, two beers, 22. What's that? Asks Bob. It's a wireless mic. Lets me call orders to the bar. My server code is 22. Mary leans over, her mic now in range of Bob, and says, so, the beer's at $2 apiece. Information costs a bit more. What kind of information are you looking for, honey? Bob begins, we're looking for a guy, mid-20s, long, dark hair, tall, thin. Honey, every gal here is looking for a guy like that, even some of the guys. His name is Mike McAnaeus. Used to live in Iowa. Drives an old car. Got into town last night. Here's his picture. Bob takes the fax snapshot of Mike from his shirt pocket and hands it to her. He was seen here last night. We'll make it worth your while if you can tell us anything about him. Mary pauses, looks at the photo, knits her brow, and says, let me think. Last night, you say. During the storm? Yeah, we know he was here. A couple of women we talked to saw him. Any idea where he is? David, listening to the conversation, keys his mic and says to Mary, they already know he was here, so you might as well tell them he came here last night. Say that he said he might come back here again tonight. Let's see if we can get them to think he's not living here. Let's see what their reaction is. Mary nods and said, oh yeah, he was here last night. I served him. He sat right over here for that matter. He said he might come back again tonight. Cute guy. Bob looks up and says, okay, now we're getting someplace. What's behind that doorway over there? As he points to the door to the freight elevator and slips Mary a $20 bill. Mary takes the bill, slips it into the side pocket of her tight jeans and says, over there? Freight elevator. I'll go get those beers now. We hear that he's living up there in an apartment. Any truth to that? Up there? No, honey. Just me and my boyfriend live up there, and that ain't my boyfriend. So he's not living here? Nope. Oh, yeah. Bring us a pizza, too, please. The works. You got it, honey. Hey, Tom says to Bob. Did you believe her? Nope. He's here. As she walks towards the bar, she mutters into the mic. Well, that didn't work too well. One of the sleepovers must have seen him this morning. And geez, honey, you know those guys are packing heat? How the hell did they get in here with the guns? David replies, don't worry. Lance knows. He figured maybe they'd just scout the place and find nothing, then report back that he wasn't here. So Lance didn't want to let them know that we were onto them by grabbing their hardware. Don't worry, though. He's keeping a close eye on them. So, Davy, what do you want me to do now? I guess just keep bringing them beers and let me know if they say anything useful. Will do. But if one of them pulls a gun, with you there, he won't stand a chance. Damn right he wouldn't. I've disarmed more than my share of hoods in the ER. David mutes the mic and says, I pity the guy that makes the wrong move around her. Yeah, she might do a makeover on him. For the next hour, Tom and Bob listen to the concert and do what they do best. Drink beer, eat pizza, watch girls, and ask questions. Finally, David turns to Mike and says, come on, as he walks over to the cabinet, opens it up, and pulls out a pair of binoculars. Leaving the apartment, he walks down the balcony to get a better angle. He leans over the balcony, targets the table with Tom and Bob, and focuses on them. There they are. Just wanted to see them directly. Here, want to look? He hands Mike the binoculars and points towards the table far below. Mike looks and says, yep, I see them. So what do you think we should do now? Well, I'm tired of waiting. I think it's time I went down and welcomed them to the club. That's what, before they're so drunk they pass out. Let's see if I can get anything out of them while he can still remember their names. As he turns and goes back to the apartment, he reaches into a desk near the door and pulls out a small wireless microphone, which he slips into his shirt pocket. You think I should come along? No. They may know you're here, but let's not give the whole store away. And about the guns? Yeah, like either of them could shoot straight after as many beers as they've had. Don't worry. You see how many guys I got work on the floor? We get guns, too. And then there's Mary. Still sounds risky. Yeah, but they don't know Mary. I'll have Lance arrange some backup just in case. Anyway, it'll be interesting to see how they react to a frontal approach. Let them look around strategy didn't work too well. I'm not sure I like your idea of fun. Don't worry. I'll be all right. Go watch it on the monitor. David threads his way across the floor to Todd's command post and says, anything new? No. They've just been talking to people and drinking for the past hour, shrugs Todd. Yeah, we've been watching upstairs on the cameras. So what do we got? Assuming they're just scouts, they'll report back that Mike was here last night and spotted here again this morning, and that he's probably living in the apartments up top. So, what are you going to do? David picks up a clipboard of receipts, scans them, then says, I think it's time I welcome them to the club, don't you? See if they have any questions for me. How much backup do you want? I don't know, but they are armed. I doubt they'll pull anything in a crowded place like this, and they're too drunk to move very fast. Let's just be safe. Better call Lance over and see what he recommends. Todd hits a key, then speaks into the headset microphone he's wearing and says, hey, Lance, can you come over here for a minute? Lance acknowledges, and Todd nods. Lance jogs around the crowd from the other side of the club. He arrives at the podium and says, hey, guys, what's up? You see those two over there, says David? Oh, yeah, we've been watching them, as he nods in Tom and Bob's direction. David looks over and notices for the first time two of the bouncers about 10 feet behind them in the shadows. I see what you mean. Well, David here is going over to make them feel welcome, so to speak, says Todd. Is he now? Need a little backup? Asks Lance. Yeah, but I don't think they'll try to pull anything serious. They chugged a lot of beer. They might try something stupid. Doesn't hurt to be prepared, says Lance as he pulls out a small police-type radio, hits a key, and says into it, Sean, Tony, Jim, how about you discreetly heading over to table 32 where our friends have parked themselves? Three muffled and squelched okays respond in quick order. Give them a minute to get in place, says Lance as he leaves, taking a circuitous route to the area behind Tom and Bob. After 2 minutes, Todd says, looks like everyone's in place. What channel are you on? 27, says David, as he walks towards Tom and Bob. As he approaches the table, Tom and Bob are commenting about the clientele. Can I get you boys anything? Says David, placing both hands palm down on the table and leaning forward menacingly. Tom looks up, uncertainly, and slurs. Yeah, you got any pretty women? He and Bob burst into giddy, drunken laughs at what they both think is a very funny line. All our lady guests are pretty. That's not a very nice thing to say. I'm the owner of this place. My name's David Shea. And who the hell are you and why are you asking questions about my guests? Oh, this is your place, says Bob. We're looking for someone who came here last night. Someone named Mike McAnaeus. You know him? I might. What do you want him for? Our boss has a little business to settle with him. And who might your boss be? None of your fucking business, says Tom, trying out his tough guy impersonation. Well, this is my club and everything that goes on here is my fucking business. Bob, equally drunk, stands up, as does David. Bob weaves closer to David in an attempt to be threatening, saying, Listen, man, don't fuck with us. We know McAnaeus was here last night and that you met with him upstairs. And what's it to you? We want to know where he is. If not, things could take a turn for the worse around here. You get my meaning? Says Bob, holding onto the table for balance, having absolutely no idea where he's going with this line that he realizes is from an old TV program he once saw. He wonders what happened to the character who spoke it. I understand you're a couple of drunks with an attitude problem. I think it's time you guys went outside for some fresh air. Hey, don't call us drunks, says Bob emphatically as he tries to maintain his balance. Bob decides he needs to do something, so he fumbles awkwardly to reach into his pants pocket for his gun. But before he can get a grip on it, his face contorts in pain as David turns and knees him in the groin. He falls over and hits the floor with a thud. It's not really clear if he's knocked out or passed out. So, you want to play with guns? At the same time, there's the sound of a joint cracking. As Tom was likewise clumsily reaching for his gun, Sean, one of Lance's bouncers, has wrenched Tom's arm and jerked it up to the point that Tom's shoulder begins to dislocate. Tom screams in pain, but he's drowned out by the band and the screaming of the crowd on the dance floor only a few yards away. Bob comes to and stumbles uncertainly to his feet, only to be grabbed by Jim. From the pained expression on his face as Jim tightens his grip, it's clear he's done fighting. David and Lance relieve them of their guns, and Dave says, This is a nice, quiet bar. We don't need troublemakers. Oh, by the way, tell your boss I don't like having guns pulled on me. Lance says, Okay, guys, time we sent them packing. Sean and Jim unceremoniously frog march Tom and Bob to the door and heave them out into the bank of snow and slush next to the entrance. Jim retrieves their coats from the coat room where they were searched earlier and tosses them on the wet, prone figures below. Jim slams the door, which causes snow to dislodge from an overhang and dump upon them, only adding to the unhappy demise of their night's adventures. For a few seconds, Tom and Bob writhe painfully in the salty slush. Then they scramble to grab their coats as the effect of the sub-zero temperature hits them like a sledgehammer. Oh, shit! Oh, shit! My coat's all wet! Shouts Bob, suddenly much more sober than a few minutes earlier, as he realizes his predicament is not good. Yeah, my fucking arm's broke, whimpers Tom as he struggles to pull the coat on. Bob tries to help him. Both are now shivering uncontrollably. Time, 10 p.m. They finally stagger to their feet, both now shaking violently in their wet, slush-filled coats in the face of the windy, -20 Nebraska night. They scurry, slip-sliding on the icy pavement in a haze of obscenities across the street to the cold but windless sanctuary of their car. Their gloveless hands pull the doors of their car open. Oh, shit, my hand's stuck to the fucking door handle, cries Tom as wet flesh contacts chilled metal. He pulls his hand free with more shrieks of pain, then pulls the door open using his sleeve and gets in. His shaking hand can barely put the key in the ignition, but he does and turns it. The motor coughs, groans, then starts. They sit and wait desperately in the dark for heat as the old engine rumbles. David returns to the apartment upstairs along with Lance and Todd. As they enter David's apartment, Mike is waiting and says, That was some show. I saw their landing in the snow, too, thanks to Todd switching the camera selection. David says, Oh, but wait, there's more. David leaps the back of the center couch and into position. He clicks an icon on the computer. A small window with a text entry box appears, and he keys in a long number. Next thing, a window appears on one side of the screen with a street map of Omaha and a blinking red dot on a street outside. Then he clicks another window with jagged sound waves, and the speaker crackles with the sound of an engine and some agitated groaning. What's that? Mike asks. Oh, Todd told me he arranged a few of his electronic gadgets to be attached to our friend's car while Mary kept bringing them beer. Nothing elaborate, just a wireless mic and a GPS tracking bug. That's the GPS display over there, and the middle window is analyzing the sound you hear from our frozen duo huddled in the car about a block from here. How did he ID the car? Outside security cam. He played back the tape after we ID'd them and saw where they parked.